from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, September the 1st, 2013. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the evening teaching on healing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the word of the Lord to His people is, for I have come in this place tonight. I have come to bless you. I've come to bless you because I love you. I've come to bless you because you are my people. You are my chosen ones. You have come with hearts heavy and hearts heavy. You have come, some minds are crooked and not straight. Some have come because you know that this is a place that you can be watered in. Some of you are here for various reasons and different things, but I have met you here because I want to bless you here. I have met you here because I want to pour into you. I want to pour into you my word. I want to pour into you in those deep and secret places that you have not been talking about. I want to pour into you more and more of me. I want you to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, what is it that I see? I want my glory to shine forth in your face. I want my glory to shine forth in your heart. I want my spirit to move in your hearts and to cause you to be less of you and more of me. And I shall pour in my spirit as you will read my word and let my word test you. I shall bring you to your destiny. Yes. I shall bring you to that place that is your destiny. I shall bring you to that place that's called destination. I shall take you on a journey that you have never been on before, for this is a new day and a new time and a new season. And I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. For I will heal you in places that you do not know that you need to be healed in. But you must listen to those that bring forth my words. You must read the word, and you must let the word try you, and you must let the word test you. And as my word tests you and tie you, it will bring you into a place of destiny. Dream and dream big. There are dreams within you that you've let die. And I shall awaken those dreams by my spirit. For it is by my spirit that I shall lift you up. It is by my spirit that I shall heal you. It is by my spirit that I shall lead you. So close your eyes and seek my face. Look neither to the left nor to the right. For I am the Lord God Jehovah. And I speak to you this night. I speak to you and I say, relax in me. Relax in me. Know that my promises are for today. Know that I have promised that I will love you. Know that my promise says, fear not. And I am the Lord God Jehovah. I am omnipotent, omnipresent, the forever seeing God. So if I make a promise, how can I break a promise? I am not a man that I should lie. I shall pour out my spirit on you and I shall lead you to your destiny. I shall lead you to your destiny, and that destiny is to spend eternity with me. But you must read my word. You must read my word. You must read my word, for my word will transform you. My word will place you in a place that you need to be, and you'll learn to listen to my voice. It is by my word that you shall understand and know my voice. It is by my word that you shall hear my voice and that I shall lead you. For the times are coming when my voice will not be able to be heard, because there will be so much dissension, there will be so much noise, there will be so much going on, you'll begin to wonder, am I talking? I am forever talking, but you've got to step out of your flesh and step into the supernatural with me. I am not a man that I should lie. I speak here this night, and if you will walk in the spirit with me, and walk within the spirit with me, and look through my eyes, and listen with my ears, and speak what I tell you to speak, I will get you to the place that you need to be. For I am the Lord God, God Jehovah, that healeth thee. I am God. I am He that healeth thee in this hour. And I will be forever in love with you, for you are precious to me. I honor you. Do you honor me as I honor you? If you will be obedient to my word, there will be nothing that I will not give unto you. Have faith in me. It is by faith that I move for you. It is by faith that I do for you. It is by faith that is moved, that healings will come, that people will be delivered. Your faith in me
look for it, saith the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints, for he has spoken a word to you today. Amen.
Carly Bouton, would you come and just share what the Lord's given you?
Thank you. I'm glad I had tonight, because y'all have been cleaned out, raked over the coals. So y'all have a lot of room for what's coming tonight. You know, it says in Jeremiah that we are to pull down, to root up, to do all this stuff. And then it says to build and to plant.
Yeah.
So we're going to plant tonight.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to root out too. We're going to do some rooting. Okay, well, first I just want to give God thanks and glory for what he's done in my life. Been healed a lot. Those things that I had that were plaguing me, I no longer have. And that's only because of Jesus and what he's done. And I've been delivered of a lot, but there's more to come, and I'm looking forward to that too. But right now, I thank God for binding and loosing the things that he's given us to be victorious, to equip us for the battle that we're in. So I thank him for binding and loosing. I thank you, Lord, for your name, that you've given us permission to use your name to cast out demons, for giving us power over all the power of the enemy. All, not just some, not a little. It says all the power of the enemy. God is greater, and for his blood that was shed and resurrected for us. And we're going to be talking about the things that his blood did for us. Right now, I bind the kingdom of darkness in this place. If there's any kingdom darkness in here, I bind it and command it to go now in Jesus' name. And I loose the kingdom of light. I bind the Antichrist spirit. And I loose the spirit of God. I bind the lying spirits and religious spirits. And loose the spirit of truth. I bind the evil heart of unbelief and loose faith to believe. And I open the prison doors to free all those that have been taken captive by the enemy. I prayed for a little boy one time. Actually, he was in the congregation of a place where I was speaking, and my heart just went out because, you know, all you adults are here, but there's little children here too that have as many needs as adults do. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to get rid of them than children before they take root and start bearing fruit. Once they bear fruit, it's a little tougher. It's a little tougher. So this child was autistic, could not even focus his eyes. I thought he was blind, actually. You know how blind people's eyes move all around. And he was a beautiful little boy, blonde, blue eyes, and he was a foster child of somebody that was there. And the next morning, the last day of the workshop, I was getting ready, and the Lord was talking. I was talking to the Lord about these children. My heart was just really broken. There were three of them. And this little boy, the Lord said that these children have been taken captive. They are prisoners of war.
Yes.
Their parents were in a war and lost. So the children had been taken captive into the system of foster children. And not only that, but he was also taken captive by the infirmity that he had, the autism. Couldn't talk, couldn't hear, couldn't understand what I was saying, none of that. So I shared that with the pastor that was holding the workshop, and what the Lord had said, and this was like 7 years ago. And so he got up that last morning. It was Sunday. We were going to have church, and that would be it. And he said, the Lord has given Miss Bhutan a word of knowledge. And I was like, I did not tell him I had a word of knowledge. I didn't tell him that. That's not what that was. I just told him what the Lord told me, you know. Well, so anyway, he wants me to have liberty to do whatever I think needs to be done for this child. Well, you know, it was like, you're on. And at that time, I hadn't been on too much. I was a little nervous about that, you know. So I said, well, why don't we bring him up here, and the other children too, pray for them as well. And we anointed him with oil. We laid hands on him, and I began to address the thing that had taken him captive. And, you know, spoke to his brain to wake up and called forth his cognitive skills and his communication skills. And I really don't even know what all I prayed, but anyway. 3 months later, this child was talking, singing, learning to read. Today he's 14 years old and he's perfectly normal. He plays football.
Yay!
So, you know, yes, God wants his people healed.
Amen.
And that's where this message came from. It was kind of like God told me one day that I want you to go back to that first love that you had. Because God dealt with me about trusting him for my health, the health of my family. That was the very first thing that God really dealt with me about. And I take God seriously. Those of you know me, I tell these little stories sometimes. I'm going to tell one tonight. It's a very short one. Y'all probably, those of you who've heard my green onion story, well, you'll have to hear it another time. Today I'm going to tell you about the first time my husband took me to a Chinese food restaurant. I've never eaten Chinese food. I lived a very sheltered life. What Mama put on the table is what we ate, and she didn't know how to cook Chinese food. So we went with another couple. Mike and I were married at the time and still are. 38 years. Is it September? Is it September yet? On the 13th, we'll be married 38 years. He's not watching, but hi, honey. Love you. But anyway, so here we are at this Chinese food restaurant with another couple, and the lady brings the menu. And we're looking over the menu, and it was a luncheon menu. You know, they have their lunch specials. They have Monday. They have Kung Pao. I don't know. I don't know what all that stuff is. I hope that's not a bad word in Chinese. And Tuesday, they have something else. Wednesday, you get the picture. Okay. So we were at this restaurant on Thursday. And the other couple is ordering their food, and the guy says, I'm going to have the Thursday lunch. And the girl said, I'll have the Thursday lunch as well. And Mike said, I'm going to have Thursday as well. Well, I had looked over the menu, and I didn't like Thursday. I thought that's just what they were calling the days, you know, the meals. I'll have Monday. I'll have Tuesday. And I looked at it, and I said, I'm going to have Tuesday. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And Mike said, she is serious. And I said, what? And she said, if you want Tuesday, you have to come on Tuesday. I have a string of stories like that I have totally humiliated myself. And you know, I didn't tell you that, so y'all are thinking, and she's up there. We are going to listen to her. I only tell you that because God knew me, and he knows that I am very simple. I just am simple. I don't like complicated. And the gospel is simple.
Yeah.
Too many have complicated the gospel to the point that you can't even get it. You have to have somebody explain it to you. listen, if I can understand this, anybody can understand this. But I did. I mean, my first Bible was the King James, and that was tough, you know. And everybody said, oh, you need to get you a Living Bible. You need to get this, and you need to get that. Well, I thought, no, if this is God's Word, He can make me understand it. And that's the way I approached it. Lord, I'm going to read this same chapter over and over until I understand it, until it speaks to me. And it began to speak to me. God began to speak to me through His Word. Okay, so this is probably the beginning of the year. I was having my time with the Lord, and He said, I want my people healed. I want my people healed. And I said, I know, Lord. I know you do. And He said, you know, I lead these two Bible studies. He said, all the women in your Bible studies, most all, I shouldn't say all, a lot of the women in your Bible studies are on prescription drugs to tolerate some infirmity in their body. And I want my people healed. That's not the way God wants His people to live. Taking medicine in order to maintain something that's wrong in your body. To live with it, to get along with it, to pet the monster, you know. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is healing. And, you know, not only the ladies in my Bible study, but I would venture to say this is probably true across the board in the body of Christ. In James chapter 5, there's a question. Is any among you sick? Well, I think the better question is any among you whole? Are any among you well? That's a question to ask. So how many of you understand, really understand and know that God wants you healed? Because you need to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, then you're going to do the other. But I'm going to take a little different approach on healing. Now, I've taught healing here probably 4 or 5 times over the years, and they have different titles. If you want to hear, I mean, it's going to be different. They're always a little different. Some of the testimonies may be the same because it's my story. You know, I can only tell you about myself. And so I want you to look in the Old Testament, open your Bibles to Exodus 15:26, because we're going to look at what God says in His Word. He sent His Word and healed them. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Word made flesh. Okay. Exodus 15:26. Now, it says, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. That came forth tonight in the word that was given. He wants you to know that He is the Lord that healeth thee. Now, turn to... By the way, did y'all notice I got my teaching off of the deal?
Oh, good.
Printed. I got up here and I had my laptop, but I didn't have the power cord. Anyway, there was enough power. I put it on my flash drive and got a copy of it. So, thank goodness for that. Okay, look in Numbers 21. We're going to skip through some of these scriptures. Numbers 21, verse 5. Okay, I'm going to kind of narrate this, but we're going to read 4 scriptures. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Now, you need to see something here. Moses was God's chosen man. He was the leader. And the people were complaining against Moses. So it says, and God. So when you speak against God's leaders, you're also speaking against God. So we need to be real careful about that. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, God just took them out of slavery. I mean, come on. They were being treated very badly. And God delivered them out. Now they're griping. Yeah. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord, and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the people said unto Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, if a certain serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of bronze on the pole, he would live. Now, I just love that about God. First of all, they're griping about Moses. So now they have these fiery serpents, and God tells Moses to take a stick and put the serpent on top of it. And if anybody gets bitten, all they have to do is look upon the stick, and they will live. That means they got to stay pretty close to the one they're kind of griping about. Isn't that funny? They want to be as far away from Moses as they can, but now they got to stay close. Of course, this is symbolic now. We need to stay close to Jesus. Okay? And then, in 2 Kings 18:4, I'm going to read this. I have it down here. It's about Hezekiah. When Hezekiah was king, it says, "He, Hezekiah, removed the high places and broke the images." You know, in the Bible, when you read, it says, "This king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. This king, he did good in the sight of the Lord." Well, Hezekiah did good. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves. That was the trees that they used to put their idols under and go out there and worship, thinking God couldn't see them because they were under the trees. They were like hiding, which you can't do that. He sees you. Wherever you're hiding to do your thing, he sees you. Okay? And cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. Now, don't you find that interesting? God provided the way for them to be healed, and they end up worshiping the stick instead of God. They had started worshiping the provision of God instead of the provider. Now, turn to 2 Kings. I'm going to look at a couple of situations. 2 Kings. Because you know what? I really questioned God, and people, when I would talk to people about healing and stuff, they always had lots of stuff to say back. And when I would leave, if I didn't have the answer, I would get in my car and be driving away and say, "Okay, Lord, what do you say about that?" So God began to answer some questions. So in 2 Kings, the first chapter, verse 1, it says, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, 'Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease.' But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, 'Arise, go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed to which thou art gone, but shalt surely die.' And Elijah departed." Don't you find it interesting? Now, I know that probably Elijah didn't live in his neighborhood. He was way somewhere else. See, God knows what's going on over here, and he tells Elijah, "Go say this." So there he goes. And let me see if I have this condensed in my notes. Okay, we need to see verse 5. And when the messengers returned unto him, he said unto them, Why are you returned? And they said, There came a man to meet us, and said unto us, Go, return unto the king who sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed to which thou art gone, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he who came to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, He was a hairy man, and girded with a belt of leather around his waist. And he said, It was Elijah the Tishbite. He knew who it was. Okay? So, that's important. Now, in verse 17, there's more there, but in verse 17, it says, So he died. Okay? Is it just me? Or does it seem that God was not pleased that they went, he sent those people to someone other than God to see if he was going to live or not? Now turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You know, when God gives me a teaching like this, I'm thinking, but Lord, the people. You know, the people. Because I know, because I've taught this before, the comments that most people make back to me about this. Because let me tell you, one of the words, one of the definitions of the word repent is change your thinking. Change your thinking. And as Christians, because we came out of the world, we have the world, a lot of the world in us, and we need to change our thinking. We have a God who tells us he is our healer. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 16, 2 Chronicles 16. Mike told me I needed to be like Kerna when he teaches, he checks off. And then he checks off the next thing, and Mike said, You need to do that. Because every time when I get down, I say, I forgot to say this. Mike said, Check it off. Don't get in a hurry. Look at your paper. Make sure you're saying it all. I will, honey. Of course, he's not back there to go. I'm not joking, y'all. He called up here one day, didn't he, Patty? The phone rang and he told Patty, Go tell her it's time to hush. If you knew the real story, see, I had gotten delivered of a controlling spirit. And you know what I learned? It says when that spirit leaves, it comes back to the house it left from. Doesn't necessarily mean the house that it came out of, but the house. And the people in the house, because they like to stay in the same family. They know you very well. They don't want to leave. They're having a ball wreaking havoc in your house. But anyway, I thought that was really funny. I couldn't believe that. Okay. But I appreciate it. He does help me. Okay. Now, we're talking about Asa. Look at verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was very great. Any of y'all have disease in your feet? If you go back, you'll see that Asa depended on the Lord. He got in this battle and he called on the Lord, and the Lord gave him victory. They had peace for a long time, and then somebody came threatening, and he made a deal with Syria. Because they had a mighty army. And somebody was sent to Asa to say, because you depended on man and not God, you'll have wars from now on. And he got mad at that word. Threw the guy in prison. And started oppressing the people because of his anger. And then he got a disease in his feet. So could there be a connection? To anger and oppressing people and having trouble with your feet? Just wondering. It said he got angry and was in a rage. You have anger and rage? Anyway, it says he was diseased in his feet until his disease was very great, yet in his disease he sought not the Lord but the physicians. Verse 13, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. So 2 years later he died because he sought not the Lord but the physicians. Is it just me? Or does it seem that God was not pleased that Asa sought not the Lord but the physicians? You know, we like to soften God. When he gives us his word, we need to heed his word. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. Before I had faith to believe, I went to the doctor. Unbelievers need doctors. But unbelievers should not be, or let me rephrase that, God's people should not be unbelievers. Okay? So I am exhorting you, I'm not condemning you, I am exhorting you to begin to develop your faith. Because when God showed me all this, he told me, one of these days, you're not going to be able to get to a doctor. One of these days, you're not going to have health insurance. And then what are you going to do? Okay. So God was not pleased. Okay. Turn to Psalm 103. This was written by David, the one who was after God's own heart. David knew his God. And he trusted God. In Psalm 103, he writes a song about God. Now, he calls him the Lord, but the L-O-R-D is in all caps. So he's talking about the Lord God, because he didn't know Jesus. Jesus hadn't come yet. But he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, he's not talking about Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna. But listen, I meet people that can tell me more about the benefits of their insurance than they can God and Jesus. They don't know his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? There's a lot of benefits in there. He forgave all your iniquities. He has healed all your diseases, who redeemed your life from destruction, that he's done all those things for me. I had a four-year depression. I should be dead. A four-year depression, I'm telling you, the devil really wanted to kill me. If I hadn't been such a coward, I'd be dead. I don't like pain. There's not one way that I could think to do that I didn't chicken out from. I don't like loud noises, don't like guns. I'm serious. I was chicken. There's no way I could have done any of those. Scared of needles. I couldn't swallow pills. An overdose, that would be out of the question. You know, all that, didn't like needles, so I wouldn't do, you know, couldn't cut myself. You know, so thank God that he wasn't successful. But he redeemed me from destruction. Satan wanted me to kill myself. I hated myself. And about everybody else that was around me hated me too. Because, listen, when you are in depression, you are ugly. You are hateful. Cruel. Yes. But you know what? An encounter. We'll get to that later. Okay. Psalm 103. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53. We're just talking about God and what He wants to do for us and what, when we get to the New Testament, what He has done for us through Jesus. This is talking about Jesus, in fact. Okay, I'm going to read this in 52. This was actually supposed to be my opening line. 52, verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am He who doth speak. Behold, I, God. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. I'm here to give you good news today. God still reigneth. Nothing's changed. Nothing. Okay, now go over to 53. This is prophesying of Jesus. Isaiah, God was speaking through Isaiah about Jesus. It says, Who hath believed our report? Verse 1. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, this is Jesus, shall grow up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It says, we are, I thought that was kind of interesting, are is present. Healed is past tense. Are healed. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Peter. Oh, okay. I'm going to stop right here because I want you to understand that Isaiah 53 right there is our inheritance from Jesus. Now, y'all just stay in Isaiah. I'm going to flip, or 1 Peter 2. I'm going to flip over to Hebrews and read you something. How unique our Lord is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, that's kind of like a will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. If y'all are to be the recipient of an inheritance, you don't get it till they die. The person has to be dead for you to get your inheritance. 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. But you see, ours gave his life, but he was resurrected, and he liveth. And we have an inheritance, even though he's not dead. He becomes our inheritance. And so I made out a little will. Sharon and Monty, if y'all pass those out. Listen, I have a limited amount. I'm using Sharon's thing. It's a limited amount. Get it very quickly. No. One-time offer. There's only so many. But just one to a family first. take one to a family so that everybody can have one. And if you're here with a close friend and there's not enough, y'all can make a copy and share it. But this is an idea that God gave me a long time ago, the first time I taught healing here, in fact. I was asking God, well, I knew this was a deliverance camp. And I said, well, Lord, you're giving me healing. And it's like, duh. Is that not the greatest deliverance you could get? Healed, delivered from your sickness. Well, yeah. Okay, so we have there's an attorney. My husband we have a little business, and next door to him is an attorney. And I woke up one morning, and I saw this. I saw it. It was like a vision with my eyes closed. I saw a will, a last will and testament. So I went next door that day. I went to the attorney, and I said, could I have a blank will? And he said, can I ask you what you're going to do with it? I said, it's for a Bible teaching that I'm doing. Sure, here you go. So I brought him one when I got done. But anyway, I wanted you to have something down like a legal document. Because it is. It's a covenant. Although it's even more binding than this. This is just paper. His covenant with us is his blood. Okay, so I did a word study on all of those words in Isaiah 53, and you can read them right there. Born means to lift, accept, carried away, eased, and took away. Surely he has borne our grief. Do you have grief? Do any of you have grief in your life? Why? He has borne our grief so that we wouldn't have to. Grief is this. Listen, this is, you know, we think about grief, that's being sad all the time. It says, disease or disorder of body or mind. Anxiety, weakness, sickness, affliction, calamity, which means a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss. That sounds familiar. Made sorry, sore, writhing in pain. Now, one of the first things that I had a benefit from, one of the benefits that I received from this word, the Word of God, was when I was pregnant with my first baby. Oh, I could not wait. I would lay down and rest in the afternoon. I would get still, and he got active, and that remained even after he was born. Every time I needed to rest. Oh, but I couldn't wait to hold that little baby, and then I thought about how that little baby was going to have to come out. And I wasn't too excited about that. And then I got thinking about it, and I just got plumb mad at Eve. It was her fault. She's the one that caused me to have this curse of child. What does it say? It says multiplied sorrow in childbirth. Yuck. I did. I said, Lord, when I get to heaven, I am punching her right in the nose. And he said, really? Well, what would you have done if you had been standing there? Ooh, Lord, forgive me. I'd have eaten it. I'm sure I would have. You know, if he did, I'm sure I would have. And then I said, but what am I supposed to do about this pain I'm facing? I don't want this pain. And I was reminded of a scripture because it was the curse that came on Eve. And I remembered I had read that somewhere that he became the curse for us. Galatians 3:13. He became the curse for us. And simple me, I'll take Thursday or I'll take Tuesday. Literal. I mean, I'm very literal minded. So I thought about that and I said, well, now wait. If he became the curse, then he took the curse. He's already suffered all the pain that I'm supposed to have in childbirth on the cross. He did it. Thank you, Jesus. I was so excited to tell my neighbor, guess what? I'm not going to to have pain in childbirth because Jesus took my pain. He became the curse for me. And she's like, but guess what? I had three babies with no pain. See, he said it. I believed it. That's how easy it is. Let me tell you. We angst over this stuff. He said it. Believe it. He said it. You can believe it. He's not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
Okay? The next one. Carry. To carry, suffer the burdens, be a burden, labored. It says he carries our sorrows. What is giving you sorrow? He carried it. Why do you want to carry it? He carried it. Let him have it. Or you can carry it. Lots of people do. Okay. Sorrows. This is what sorrows are. Anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind, mentally, emotionally, physically. Sadness. Continued pain or distress. See, there's childbirth right there. Continued pain or distress. That one up there a while ago, writhing in pain. That kind of sounds like childbirth. Everything I ever saw on TV, she's hanging onto the headboards, screaming and writhing, and everybody's trying to cover their ears. Sadness, continued pain or distress, afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress, blemishes and destructions. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded is injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue, broken open as with a wedge. This is what they did to Jesus. Big deal, they didn't break any bones. They broke everything else, tore him up completely. And he did that for us. That was real. Profaned or violated or treated with irreverence. They did that. Yeah. Hey, call on that, you know, they just mocked him and, physician, heal thyself. Get your own self down there. Call on the angels. He could have done all that. But he chose to do it for us. Abuse, contempt, desecrate. He was desecrated. Transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's rebellion, sin, and trespass. Bruised for our iniquities. Bruised means to beat to pieces. Break, destroy, humble, such as to destroy the power or prestige of, smite with sudden hard blows, oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty, iniquities, perversities, moral evils, fault, mischief, wrongdoings, and sin. Chastisements of our peace was put on him. Chastisement is correction, discipline, rebuke for whatever's keeping us from having peace so we can have peace. He took it so we could have peace. And yet we let things so disturb our peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Stripes, black and blue marks, bruise, hurt, wound, and welt. Healed means made well, healthy, mended, cured, repaired thoroughly, made whole, free from defect or damage, intact, having all its parts. That's what it means in the Hebrew. So I kind of just summed it all up with a little word to y'all from him. My child, when I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary, I took upon myself the payment for sin that otherwise would have been required of you. I suffered the shame, punishment, condemnation, and damnation for your sin so you wouldn't have to. You are forgiven. At the same time, I took upon myself the suffering of every sickness, disease, and affliction known to mankind and destroyed its power over you. Can you imagine the pain he went through? He took upon himself cancer, diabetes, heart attacks, Charlie horses, I mean, you name it, he took all of it on the cross. So we eat before it would ever come to us. He took it. Now when it comes to us, we're going to talk about that later, what we should do. You are healed. I also suffered all forms of bondage and the torment that goes along with it so you could enjoy complete rest and freedom. You are delivered. I did all this because my great love for you. I pray you will receive it all with joy. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is his last will and testament to us. Isn't that cool? Okay. Now, this is all done. Now let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody's probably there but myself. 1 Peter 2:24. And it says, who, speaking of Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense, again, were healed. Now it's were healed. In Isaiah, it said are healed. Now it says were healed. That is past tense. Now turn to John 19:30. John 19:30. These were the last words Jesus spoke on the cross. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Now, the reason I'm coming at this lesson this way is because of something that happened earlier this year when I was praying for a lady right over there. And I said, what is it that you want the Lord to do for you? And she said, I need healing. And I said, what is your infirmity? And she told me. And I did something I've never done before. It wasn't me. Sometimes God does things and I take notes. Sometimes he says things. And I take notes. But that day, I said, this is what the Lord wants to do with you. I took her by the hands and moved her about 6 feet. I said, God wants to move you from the place of standing and asking over here where healing is. And I thought, that's interesting. We stand and ask. And he tells us to ask. I'm not fussing that she was asking because he is the one that we should go to. But what he told me in my own crying out to him when I had an infirmity, that's what he said to me. I had forgotten all those years ago when I said I was suffering with, I had chronic sinus infections just like my daddy and just like his mother. And it was a generationally inherited curse. And my mother also had hay fever, and you know, so I had it from both sides. So twice a year, every year that I could remember, I was in the doctor's office. Start with a little that would turn into a sore throat, drainage, and then my glands under here would feel like a sack of marbles. Then I would lose my voice. That was really the worst. And for me, losing the voice is not good. And I was running fever. And finally, you know, I went to the doctor and had to get a shot and cried all the way home because I was such a baby. And he would give me antibiotics and the prescription cough syrup. And that would go on for 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, I'd go back and do it all over again because it didn't work. But, you know, I'm doing all I need to do. I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I just did everything I needed to do, spent all that money, and eventually got well, which probably I would have eventually gotten well anyway. But I don't like to suffer. Okay, so I was there's an antique show that comes to our town once a year, and I used to love to go look at all that old stuff. And I was sick. As a dog. But Satan wasn't going to rob me of getting to go to that antique show.
I dragged myself out of the bed and I got dry. I'm going to show him. I was miserable. And I was thinking about how stupid that seems. And I'm driving and I can remember. I mean, it's amazing how you can remember right the spot where he spoke to you. But anyway, I was going under this underpass. And I was talking to him like this. But I had read earlier that day the story of the leper. Now let's go there. Let's see. Matthew chapter 8. Because this is what I read that morning in my devotional time. Verse 1, Matthew 8, 1. When he, Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Can you imagine? I just know the people were following him. I know that if he were on the earth today, I would be dragging a bunch of people to follow him. You know, Lord, please heal them of this. Heal this one. Heal. You know, that's what they did. They heard about Jesus and they came to him. Should be what we still do today. It's just location. The only difference is location. Okay. But it's better because everybody can get to him now. You don't have to travel to Damascus or wherever. Okay. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now this is in today's terms. You know, if you wanted to, you could make me clean. I want to point out something about this worship. In this place, I looked up the word. And like Richard said earlier, you know, to worship is like a dog licking the hand of its master. But there was another definition, and it means a posture of submission, almost like a cringe or a bow. He approached Jesus, you know, with great reverence and almost fear. That's how he came to Jesus. And said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. He wanted to. I want to. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Now I just loved that. Loved it. And I'm driving sick as a dog every year, twice a year. And I'm thinking about this leper. So I said, Lord, if you wanted to, you could heal me. I mean, I was confronting him because the leper got it. I want it. If you wanted to, you could heal me. And he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Now that was news. And while I'm awed by that, he said, does it not say it is finished? All of a sudden, I understood, hearing preachers forever, Jesus has done all he's going to do. And I would sit back there and think, I guess I'm out. If he's done. I mean, literally, you know, it's over. And we'll go home. No, but anyway, but Jesus said, the Lord spoke to me. Not audibly. I don't know how to describe how that happens. But I heard him say, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And then he said, did I not say it's finished? Well, I don't know how. How do I receive it? And he said, by faith. Well, I didn't know how to do that either. So I said, okay. I receive it by faith right now. And I thank you for my healing in Jesus' name. Well, all the rest of the day, as soon as I got to the mall, I bought some sinus Tylenol, something, because I was in pain. Now, some people would say, you just negated your faith right there. You know, God's not like, I mean, that people put a lot of things on God that's not God. So anyway, went home, woke up the next morning, and every symptom was gone, and it was not the Tylenol sinus. I knew, because I'd been taking medicine for a month, No, God healed me. And I don't have allergies. I don't have sinus infections anymore. And it didn't even hurt. It didn't cost anything. See, if you can receive it, everything we get from God is received. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. Nobody else can give it to you. It's a gift. You can't demand it. The gift is there. Receive it. Just receive it. And I think it's because I'm so literal-minded that I get so much from God, because He said it, I believe it. I receive it. I ask. I make my request known. When my dad died, she remarried, and he was dying. And I didn't want him to die in my mother's bed. That causes problems for people. So my request, Lord, I am asking you to have him die in his recliner in the TV room. That's my request. My brother said, you're not supposed to pray like that. And I said, Philippians chapter 4. Oh, yes. It says, let your request be made known to God. He said it. It says it. I believe it. I do it. I get it.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.